Maybe I shouldn't have this thing on. After Kyle said all that, I'd just like to remind everybody that I think he came to me yesterday and said, "Do you want to have?" I think it was just yesterday. I read it in the bulletin first. I think he said, "Do you want to do the encouraging word?" And I thought, "Well, that's quite a bit of notice. I appreciate that." Then he said, "You can have 10 minutes." It took him 10 minutes to do the introduction here. I don't know how I'm supposed to do something in 10 minutes, but anyway, people ask who's in charge around here, and I say, well, I'm about six down, or seven. We have Kirk and Kyle and Brandon, and then we have Weston and Rylan, Weston, Sawyer, and Kylan. So I don't know where how far that is down, but that's how much I'm in charge around here. But in all seriousness, I really appreciate what the vision that Kirk and Kyle and Brandon had for this camp, and look what it's turned out to do here, and how much encouragement it's been to me, and I appreciate that a lot. I also appreciate the fact that we were able to work with the Williston people, and what encouragement they were to my boys and to me on this whole deal, and then two of them went and moved to Texas, but they're here, and we appreciate them a lot. I'm really thankful. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm really thankful that we were able to have this vision to have all you come here. We, just like always, we don't get everything done that we're supposed to before people come, but hopefully, people can be encouraged, and that's what we really want to do is encourage each other in this situation, and especially on this day. I think that's what the first day of the week is supposed to be about, is about encouraging one another. I guess as I listen to the classes, or the sermons that we've had, or the talks that we've had, and then I talk to people around, it's encouraging to me to see what's going on all over the world with the help of you guys. And I've been able to, in my life, talk to pretty big crowds and talk to a lot of people, but there's no crowd I'd sooner talk to than the one here, because I know what you got going and what's going to happen. But anyway, thank you for that, and I would like to again thank my wife for what we were able to do together here. We've been married almost 49 years now, and I tell her every morning that she's the luckiest lady in the world. But what puzzles me is why I have to do it every morning. But you'd think she would remember that after a while. But I would like to instead of wasting my 10 minutes, I'd like to go ahead and read some scriptures, or talk about some scriptures, and throw some thoughts out here. One thing that I grew up in a little town in northern Montana, on a Canadian line. Turner was the name of the town, and in that town we had three different churches, I guess. One was a Lutheran church, one was a Catholic church, and one was a Christian church where we attended. And so all three of them churches thought baptism, as they called it, was essential for salvation. That's why when I read the scriptures, And I see the word that's translated baptism, baptizo, I say immersion. So I'm gonna go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is, we've been accused in the restoration movement of using this scripture a lot, but I don't know if we totally understand it all the time. And I want to try to point a couple things out to everybody that I think are important in here. You know, as I go through life, you see a lot of people that have bad days, and it's disheartening to me when we look at the outlook we have. There's people that think, you know, there's a lot of people that'll look at the situation and think, man, this is really bad. But as Christians, it's really hard to have a bad day. And I wanna try to point that out, why that is. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and all your children, and for all who are far off, as many as our Lord God shall call to himself." We've been doing a class at our assembly, and Kirk's been talking about some of the about the second coming and Revelation, and one thing that he mentioned is that we have some plain statements of fact in the Scripture. This is a plain statement of fact. When we're immersed, we have forgiveness of sins and receive the Holy Spirit. It's a plain statement of fact. Nobody can argue with that. Beth and I are having we were in Arizona in January, and we've seen one of her nephews down there, and we talked to him quite a bit about the Scriptures, and so we're having a internet study with him. We do some things and send it to him, and he sends some stuff back to us. But he has a hard time with this verse. I said, you know, this is a plain statement of fact. He says, well, he has 100 other verses on how to get the Spirit. Well, that's fine with me, but what's wrong with this one? Why can't we put them all together? A plain statement of fact. You know, we gotta understand that we get forgiveness of sins at immersion, and we get the Holy Spirit. Let's go to a couple other scriptures that just talk about this. And remember, I only have 10 minutes, so I can't hurry. I can't do too much here. But did Kyle go over about 15 minutes in his whole deal there? I thought we were going to be kind of on a strict time deal, and he goes over. He wasted 15 minutes of mine already, you know. So anyway, Acts chapter 20, verse 16, and this is when Paul's, or 22:16, I'm sorry. This is when Paul's telling the story about his conversion, and it's interesting to me that the Holy Spirit had him say these words. It says in verse 16, and Ananias was talking to him, and he said, "And now, why do you delay? Arise and be immersed, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Pretty plain statement of fact. How does he get his sins washed away? By immersion. Pretty plain statement of fact. Best nephew has a little trouble with that. Well, there's lots of ways to get your sins forgiven. Well, I know, yeah, there's lots of things that go into that, but this is a plain statement of fact. It happens when you're immersed. Another script that I wanted to go to, and this is kind of preaching to the choir, but I want to bring it around a little bit more. Acts chapter 19. let's look at the first few verses in Acts chapter 19. It says, "And it came about while Paul was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we did not even hear whether there was a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were ye immersed?' And they said to him, and they said, 'Into John's immersion.' And Paul said, 'John immersed with the immersion of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Christ Jesus.' And when he heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus." What's the indication there? They didn't have the Spirit because they weren't immersed in Jesus' name. So, pretty plain statement of fact, isn't it? I mean, he said, just go get immersed in Jesus' name and you'll get the Holy Spirit. That's just how it is. This morning when Mike and was up talking about John chapter 14, I noticed in there again that it says Jesus is going to send a helper to us. He's going to send something to us that's going to help us out. Somebody that's going to help us out. I think it's important for us to understand that. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to read a couple of verses there. From 9 to 11. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. For if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of the sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There are several different ways that Paul describes the Spirit here, and again, we got to understand that the inspired word is there for a reason. You know, the first, he says, the Spirit indwells you. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit. If Christ is in you, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. Pretty, you know, I think he wanted to point out the point that the Spirit indwells us. Do you think? And how many ways did he go about that? I think it's important for us to understand that we have that Spirit within us. And, you know, how can we have a bad day if our sins are forgiven and we have the Spirit within us? It's pretty hard to have a bad day, I think. And so when we go throughout life, it has to change our outlook if we know that them things are true. I want to go over to the end of Romans chapter 8. I'll go to verse 26. This gives us a little bit more insight on what the Spirit does for us. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I think God is looking out after us if we have the Spirit within us. If we don't, again, like we've seen earlier in Acts chapter, or Romans chapter 9, if we don't have the Spirit within us, we don't belong to it. Just not part of it. So, what can't we conquer? What can't we overcome? What can be bad for us? If that's the case. I think what we need to do is have the outlook that God's going to help us do anything. It was a hard act to follow with the two mics this morning. And Mike Martin talked to us a little bit about what can we do? What's our vision? How do we handle things? How much of a sacrifice do we have? But he said God is always with us. And this is how he's with us. By the way, when I was walking up there, I said to Becky, I'd sure like to listen to your class, and she said, you have to go with the boys. So I don't know how Becky done, but Mike done a great job. So she wouldn't let me stay here and listen, so I had to go with the boys. But anyway, I think it's important for us to understand that that to have that vision. I don't think we have that vision well enough that the Spirit's here to help us, and and our sins are forgiven. I mean, it's a pretty plain statement of fact, I think, and it's important for us to implant that into our minds. And I don't think we need to implant this into our minds so that in fact we shouldn't implant this into our minds so that we're better than anybody else. It's that we're humble and we can help whoever it is. You know, we hang around the sale barn quite a bit, and one of the sayings around the sale barn is I'd like to buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. It'd be a pretty good stroke of business. And that ain't what we should be doing as Christians. We shouldn't be thinking we're pretty darn good, you know. But we need to understand that Jesus is the one that's doing all this for us because he lives within us. And I think that's a perspective we need to have. And that way we can do what we need to do. Let's continue reading in Romans chapter 8 a little. Let's start in 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how will he not also with him freely give us things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, he was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? This 37 says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How can we have bad days? And what can separate us? What can make it bad for us? Because we need to believe that we have the Holy Spirit within us and our sins are forgiven. And we can't have bad days. I think that's we're told to let people know that we are Christians by our love. We need to also let people know that we're Christians because we have a Holy Spirit within us, and our attitude is great, and we can conquer a lot through him. So let's just get that vision in our minds so that as we go throughout life, we can be the people we should be because Jesus is living within us, and we can conquer anything. Thank you.